And welcome to another installment of Mercenary Musings Radio, an exclusive audio service presenting views and insight from the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp, who happens to be in the same place he was a couple of weeks ago, Vancouver, British Columbia. Mickey, it has been a very busy stretch for you on Canada's West Coast.
Well, it certainly has, Rob. We had the Cambridge House Conference and multiple TV and radio interviews then, and seeing all my clients here and trying to write and research. And so luckily or unluckily, the weather has been horrible here, so it forces me to sit in front of my computer.
Well, you are a man in demand, and that is a good thing for sure. This is the first installment of the program in its third year of existence. Mickey, we ended year two with a focus on zirconium. For today's program, you suggested we move further up the periodic table to beryllium. Before we talk about how it is used, the supply-demand situation, etc., tell us a little bit about its history, physical properties, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's an alkaline earth metal. Sits right next to lithium, so it's number four in the periodic table. So it's quite light. It is steel gray, strong, brittle, but it's got some very interesting characteristics. It lends itself to high-tech applications. Mm-hmm. It's rigid. It's thermally stable. It conducts heat very well. Low density, of course, high melting point. It makes very hard and strong and rigid alloys. So it is also transparent to X-rays and gamma rays.
Mm-hmm.
And so with all these physical properties, it has a lot of varied uses, mainly in the high-tech and military application industries. It's used as beryllium dioxide, BeO2. That's a relatively minor use now, but with good growth potential. Used as beryllium metal in a variety of applications. And then probably most people know it for its alloying. So you have beryllium copper alloys. You have beryllium aluminum alloys. You have bronze beryllium alloys. And these have widespread, although fairly small uses.
Okay, lots of uses, Mickey. Do we have an idea as to how much is used on a global scale, and is there enough on the market today to meet the demand?
Right now we estimate there's 360 tons a year used, and that comes from basically three sources. The Brush Wellman Spore Mountain Mine in Utah, which is really the world's only major beryllium mine, and it has a monopoly in North America for the most part. Then there is a beryllium processor from Russian stockpiles in Kazakhstan called Olba, and that is a significant part of world supply. Then we also have a couple of other players. This is really an oligopoly, so you're looking at basically four companies in the world between the U.S., Kazakhstan, and we're not really sure what goes on in China, but they're certainly involved, and Russia. So because of past nuclear applications, the other company involved is a Canadian-listed company, but with operations U.S. mainly. And that's IBC Alloys, and they are on the downstream end of it. So the Spore Mountain Mine in Utah supplies the significant amount of world production through a mineral called bertrandite. It's rare, but because it's low-grade and content in beryllium, it has to be upgraded through the mineral beryl, which we all don't know about, maybe not as beryl, but that's the same mineral that forms emeralds and aquamarines. And so it's a relatively complicated business. It is growing. There is future demand projected. It's growing somewhere 4 to 5% a year.
But you mentioned, Mickey, 360 tons, correct?
That's tiny.
That is minuscule, isn't it?
It is absolutely tiny, but the business itself is estimated to be a $2 billion business a year, which is not especially tiny. It's not big, but part of that has to do with it's very expensive. It sells for about $500 a kilogram. It's very hard to extract and to make into pure beryllium metal. There's only three countries in the world in which that's done, and that's Russia, Kazakhstan, and the U.S. Again, we don't quite know what goes on in China. So it's a very much fits into the specialty metal crowd here.
Yeah, and I would imagine 360 tons on a global scale, a very small amount, and we talked about a wide range of uses, so I guess we can extrapolate from that, Mickey, is that if when this is used as a hardening agent in alloys in an aircraft, for example, we're talking about a very small amount, aren't we, in each particular, whether it's a plane or it's a missile or X-ray equipment, we're talking about a very small amount in each particular product.
That we are, but there is certainly good growth potential, especially beryllium has a fairly interesting history. It was discovered in the late 1700s, but it was not extracted in its pure form until World War II, or very pure form. And that had to do with the fact that it is a very vital component for making nuclear bombs, because it is a very good neutron reflector. So we see that the countries involved basically are the U.S. and Russia, Kazakhstan, and that comes because Kazakhstan was the processing facility for Russian nuclear weapons. And so the potential for this element to have increased uses is very good. And one of the main growth industries could be the use of beryllium in nuclear fuel pellets. It right now is used for cladding in nuclear reactors, but what it does in nuclear fuel pellets is it acts as a thermal sink, so it is very thermally conductive. So it can lower the temperature at which a nuclear reactor needs to operate and makes for a more efficient fuel. And it also in that regard would lead to safety upgrades, because a nuclear fuel reactor would not need to operate as high a temperature. So post-Fukushima, those sorts of safety issues are very important. So that's ongoing research, not really important part of the market right now, but could be in the future.
Okay, and wrapping up, Mickey, you're talking about an expanded use of this, good growth potential for this. What about the potential for investors to make money off of this sector? Is there a way of playing this, or is it so specialized and controlled by so few people that it's really not something you can take a serious look at? What do you think?
Well, it's controlled. It's an oligopoly, as we've mentioned, and those sorts of metals or materials that are controlled use from the mining to the end use is not very conducive for small companies to get involved. I mentioned a couple of companies, one in the U.S. and one in Canada, which generate cash flow from this operation. But there's been a couple of juniors that have notoriety, if you will, over the last couple of years with beryllium plays, and that includes a company in my home state of New Mexico, which in my opinion is not real, and morphed from a beryllium company to a rare earth company, and then had to retract some assays in which an order of magnitude was wrong in the assays. So that company is something that speculators would be
well advised to steer clear of.
Absolutely. And then there's another company that operates in with a exploration resource play in one of the former republics of the Soviet Union. That company is a rare earth element promotion, and at times has been a beryllium promotion, and You look at the fundamentals of that and the share structure, and I would not recommend that to investors get involved with that one. And then there's a few other companies where beryllium is a small part of their business.
Right.
So absolutely not. I would not, you know, very seldom have I come on as strongly in a metal space and say, absolutely not, stay away. But that's my take in beryllium with the small exploration juniors. Now, that said, there is one company listed on the Toronto Exchange that is fabricates end products in beryllium industry. That's a very interesting company.
Okay, we'll wrap it up on that. No, Mickey, next time out, what do you want to focus on?
I have no idea. I'm so busy here that I rushed around. I got back to my apartment here 10 minutes before our interview, so I was just happy to be prepared to do this one, Rob.
Okay, well, no problems. You and I will connect before the recording of the next show. I'm sure we'll come up with a very interesting topic for listeners. Great stuff. Thanks very much, Mickey. Try to relax a little bit. Take a little bit of downtime. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks, okay?
I have a nice dinner and wine planned with my significant other tonight, so I'm very much looking forward to that, Rob.
Okay, thanks very much, Mickey. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. That is Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist, and you can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.